It is so good to see you. Thank you for being a part of Church on the Rock. If you're in the building, I love seeing your faces and being a part of the church with you. If you are tuning in online, I love being connected through technology. It is an unbelievable gift that God has given us, that we can be far apart and still close and connected. Love giving shout outs to people that tune in online. And today's shout out is going to Andrea in Mississippi. Would you give it up for her? Everybody, thanks for being connected. It's really awesome. Your name also may be pronounced Andrea. I don't know. So either one, just we're glad that you are here. If you're in the room, thank you so much for being a part of it. It's really, really awesome to host you. Listen, before we get into the message today, I just want to recap something that was just said in news, okay? I need to pay you a compliment and offer you an apology at the same time. Is this okay? Can I do this, everybody? Here's the compliment. Because we've printed thousands of Easter invitation cards, thousands of them. You guys took them all last Sunday. All of them are gone. Every single one. Here's where I need to apologize. We did not apparently pick up new ones. And so what news said is like they're out in the lobby, and they are not out in the lobby. This is on us. There is no excuse. That's why I need to offer you an apology. But I want you to know this, that they will be available Tuesday morning at prayer and all throughout this week. So if you are a part of our prayer services, you can get them. If you want to be a part of our prayer services, we'll see you Tuesday morning next door at the campus that we call our Camp Rock Kids campus. That's from 7 to 8 a.m. I promise you, it will be worth your time. You can get invite cards there. And then listen, if you're just driving by, stop in throughout the week. We'll distribute them to you. And then next week, we'll have extra thousands, all right? Because it'll be Palm Sunday. We'll be 7 days away from Easter, and we will stock your pockets. Is that fair enough, everybody? With Easter invitation cards. So I do apologize. I wish that was not the case, but it is. All right, I want to get into what is the eighth installment of a current series that we're doing called Forever. And again, I've said this every Sunday, I think, but emphasis on that number four. And forever being represented by these four cups on this table ahead of me. Now listen, if you have been a part of this series and tracking through all eight installments, that's great. Thank you for being connected. That makes me so excited and so happy. If you haven't been, here's what I would like to say. Just, I want to put you at ease and let you know, like, that's perfectly okay. I really try my best to put messages together that can stand alone and speak to you even if you've not been a part of the prior installments. Today, though, I am going to kind of breeze through. I'm not going to set up all that what's going on with these cups. We're just going to kind of get into the topic, and here's why. I have a lot of content and a limited amount of time, and so I just want to give you the best content in that time that I possibly can. So if today you say, man, this was intriguing and I would love more, I just want you to know that Church on the Rock has a YouTube channel. You can go get every installment of this series that we've already produced and preached. And then on our website, cotr.live, you can also go there and find any of these installments. That sound good, everybody? All right, well, let's get into it. I want to talk to you today. We're in the second installment of this discover purpose is what we're going to talk about today. So here's what we've been saying is that these four cups are important to all of us because God ushered Israel out of Egyptian captivity thousands of years ago. And when he did that, he made some really profound statements to those people. Now here's the thing. That movement was not only significant to Israel, it was significant to all of us. Whether you would recognize or understand this or not, that movement of people and the thing that God did that day is significant to all of our lives, even you, even today. And so here's how we've been saying it. These cups have representations, and we've been saying this, that God wants four things for you, for everybody, for me, for all of us. And if you know them, they're going to go on the screen, but I want you to say them out loud, especially everybody, if this is your church home, I'd love you to know these four things. Here's what we say, that God wants you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And so throughout this series, we've talked about knowing God. We've talked about finding freedom. Last week, we started the conversation about discovering purpose. And I want to go deeper today. Is that okay? You guys ready? I want to go deeper because in Exodus 6, verse 6, God says, I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to bring you back to the original purpose and plan that I have for your life. I have a plan for you is what God is saying, and Satan has lied to you. And so he's got you off purpose, because you were born into the slavery of sin. But once you know me, I've taken you out of that slavery. Knowing God is critical, and it all starts with this cup. But I can take you out of slavery, and some of us can still have slavery in us. In other words, we think like a slave and operate like a slave. Let me say it this way. We just have bad habits. We've learned bad things. So I want you to also find freedom, but I don't want you just to know me and just work on the issues in your life. I also want you to know that there is a purpose for you, and I want you to discover that. And so we've been talking about discovering purpose. I have two beliefs about purpose, okay, and this is just me. I have two beliefs, and the first one is this, that I think that purpose is less mysterious than you think. I really do. I think there's a lot of people that they're like, I don't know what my purpose is, and we get lost, and I'm not really sure what I should do or what I shouldn't do. Oftentimes, we will be paralyzed in motionlessness because we're afraid to do the wrong thing, because we're trying to find the right thing, and I'm just here to kind of like debunk it a little bit, demystify it some, and I hope today it makes even more sense that purpose is less mysterious than you think. I also believe that we have a capital P purpose and a little p purpose. Capital P being the great commission of Jesus, and that's what we talked about last week. When Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world, and I want you to preach the gospel to everybody, everywhere. And then he said, and I want you to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so the church, the body of Christ, us, the church is not a place, it's a people, isn't that right? And so the body of Christ has a responsibility, a capital P purpose, a unified agenda to proclaim the good news of Jesus to others. Once people have put their faith in Christ Jesus, they've partaken of the first cup, they now know God, well then we should raise them, disciple them. We should grow them up in the faith, help them understand the word of God, help them understand a prayer life, help them understand how to walk with and work with the body of Christ, other people. Everybody tracking with me? Today though, I wanna go deeper and I wanna talk about probably, I would guess, the most sought after topic and the most sought after message within the entire series. I wanna talk about your little p purpose. In other words, like me, you the individual. Well, what does it look like and how do I know and what's gonna propel me toward this purpose that God has for me. Does that sound interesting to you? I think it does, and here's why. We're naturally selfish people. We just are. Come on, right? All of us bend towards selfishness, so there's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to say this morning, lean into it. Lean into it. Let's look inside of ourselves, and let's unpack and learn some things about what the Bible says about our individual purposes, okay? And so our little b purpose is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about your design, and we're going to talk about your deposits. Because you have a particular design. Let me say it this way. God made you. I like to say it like this. I would love to lead you to believe I created this language, but I stole it from another great pastor. And he says this, that God created you on purpose for purpose. Like there's a reason for God putting you together the way that he did. So you have a design and you have some deposits. You have some things that God wants to put inside of you that have nothing to do with your design, but enhance you to do the things that God has called you to do. Would you like to talk about that today? Let's get into it. If you're ready, say ready. All right, I'm going to start here in Psalm chapter 139. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14. This is King David. So like David and Goliath, David right here. And I want you to notice his words in a prayer to God. This is what he said. You made, and I love the intentionality and the focus, that you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Verse 14, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. And then watch what he says at the end. How well I know it. And here's what I would love for us to do. My goal is for you to walk out of this room today or sign off tuning in online with more confidence in knowing how God has designed you and what God has deposited into you so that you can better understand your purpose. What I love about King David is that he had an understanding a bit of himself. And I think, listen, I'm going to say this like a little bit tongue in cheek, but I just think that we should psychoanalyze ourselves all of the time. Let me say it like this. It's important that you know you. because God built you. David said, in my mother's womb, you knit me together. You put me together before I was even born. And I would love to say this, that if God knit you together in your mother's womb, and by the way, I believe that he does that today, by the way, this is just me, okay? And I don't have time for this, I'm gonna just really quickly tell you why. Because if you go read the creation story, and you look at all the things God created, everything God created, he spoke into existence, everything. And God said, and it was there, and it was good, except you and me. The Bible says that he formed us with his hands and breathed his life into us. That is not accidental. That is not accidental. David understood that God, I still believe, is hand fabricating every one of us, and he's doing it with purpose in mind. So in other words, I'm going to make you female. I'm going to make you introverted, very organized, but very strong. I'm going to make you a man, and I'm going to make you very extroverted and very energetic. You're going to have a wild energy and charisma about you. God put you together on purpose for purpose. So God is fabricating you and I with a design that he wants us to have. And I think it's important for us to understand ourselves a bit to know, well, who am I really? What things do I like? What things do I not like? What comes natural to me? What is effortless for me that might be difficult for others? What little like idiosyncrasies do I have about myself? What things matter? What things don't? And to actually measure, who am I? Because the better I know me, the better I understand how God made me. And that's important because the way God made you points to the way God wants to use you. Amen, everybody? In Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says this, that we are God's masterpiece. Man, I love, just think of the intentionality of that word. Unpack the definition of that word in your mind as it relates to you. That you're the masterpiece of God. And watch this. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us when? In his design of you. Yeah, so he put you together that way on purpose. And let's all be honest, there are certain things about us that we can't stand. Come on, right? It is what it is. I am overly emotional. I cry too much. Drives me crazy. Some of you guys are like, oh, it's so sweet. We love that you cry. And I'm like, it embarrasses me every single Sunday. And when I'm preaching and start crying, I cannot look up at Miss Bobby in the balcony because she'll make me cry worse. She's also emotional. God made me that way, though. And it does have an impact. There's a way I can feel people's pain sometimes. I can watch a Disney commercial and just cry because I understand the tension going on in that cartoon. My point is that God did that in me. He designed me that way on purpose. And everything about the deer hunting southern country boy that I am wants to be tough and stoic. I'm not. I'm a crybaby. I actually think I'm a little bit tough crybaby, but nonetheless. A crybaby. Here's the thing. God put me together that way. There's something that God uses in that. And so I could either lean away from it or I can lean into it. Well, the same is true for you. And so what I want to talk to you this morning about is your design. And I would actually encourage you, take time to just recognize, how did God put me together? What things are natural to me or easy for me? What does my personality lean toward? What things do I like? Because this is going to point to the way God wants to use you. Amen, everybody? I have certain natural things about me. You have certain natural things about you. God wants to use those. He designed you a long time ago to do good stuff. Amen, I like the word stuff. All right, again, a lot of content. So we have a design. And just two verses, I think, point to the proof that God knit you together. God designed you long ago for purpose. What happened to us, though, is that we were born into sin, aka slavery. So it's incredibly important that we know God and come out of slavery, that we walk with God and his people and find freedom, because we should be renewed by our minds, right? Our minds should be renewed. We should be thinking differently. I need to find freedom and then understand God wants to use me for his purpose because he put a purpose on the inside of me. Now, the second thing that I want to talk about is your deposits. deposits. Like, God wants to put other things in you. Let me say it this way, beyond your design, that will complement your design, but are supernatural. The Bible calls them spiritual gifts. And God wants to place inside of you spiritual giftings, empowerments that are supernatural, supernatural, bigger than my design. They're God's deposits on the inside of me. Let's look at Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible says that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. And there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. And so what I think is important for followers of Jesus, and if that's you, lean in right now, to understand is that it is important for us to understand that I am not enough on my own. You can be super extroverted, wildly talented, incredibly energetic. You could have a contagious spirit about you. You can be very effective as a communicator, but God wants to use you in a greater way, because you could use that gift to be a great sportscaster or an incredible podcaster. You could use that gift to be a great Sunday school teacher, life group leader. You could use that gift to be a communicator of the gospel, a witness in the office. There's a lot of ways that you can use your talent, but God wants to empower you to do things that are beyond you. And he calls them spiritual gifts. And I want to dig into that just a little bit this morning, because I think that may be more important than just the way God put us together, because our giftings will always complement our design. Amen. So let's look at the Greek word for gifts. It's the Greek word charis. Charis. It's where we get the word charisma. You ever met somebody that there's just a charisma about them, right? Oh my gosh, they have such charisma. And most oftentimes, we would use that word to describe somebody who's a little bit extroverted or energetic. Man, they're just bubbly and excited. Oh my gosh, she just smiles all the time. It's unbelievable. She has such a charisma, might be the way that we describe them. But this charis is specifically speaking to something that God has deposited on the inside of you for his use in other people. It's also where we get the word, you ready for it? Some of you guys are going to cringe right here, charismatic. And some of you guys like that. You jump up like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And some of you guys go, I don't know about that, man. I didn't grow up like that. I've heard some stories. And listen, here's the thing. That's not a bad word. It's not a bad word at all. It just means somebody who operates in their gifting. Now, I could give you my opinions on why I think some people have a bad taste of that word in their mind, but we don't have time for that. Let's move on. Here's the definition of this word, charis. It is a favor with which one receives without any merit of his own. It's a gift. It's something that God wants to give you, a deposit. Here, Josh, have this. Here, Sandy, have this. Here, Joe, have this. Owen, I want you to have that. It's a gift. It's an empowerment. It's the gift of divine grace. Not only do I have a design, but I have deposits. And here's what the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve others. God has given each of you a spiritual gift. Use them well to serve others. I want to make sure you understand the first part, that God has given each of you a gift. It is a gift of divine grace. It is a supernatural empowerment to move on behalf of God and go beyond the ability of myself. Example, I believe that God designed me to be a communicator. I think it's how he made me. I was winning speech contests in fifth grade. Every oral report I ever gave in school, I had the highest grade of everybody in the class, including at this school when I attended here. And I was not a good biology student, I can promise you that. But thank God for the oral report. It saved my backside in that class. Amen. And I do believe that I could use this design for a lot of things. I mean, if I could sit behind a microphone and talk about football for a living, I actually think I could do pretty good at that. If I could have a podcast about bow hunting, I think I could survive. But God gave me a spiritual gift to communicate the hope of the gospel. People will say things to me sometimes, this is not about me. I want you to relate this to like how God wants to use you. People will say to me sometimes like, how did you see that? It's the gifting that God's given me. How did you make that like relate? Like, that feels old and archaic when I read it, but when you talked about it, it just felt like it was like possible and applicable like on a Tuesday. I'm like, yes, that isn't me. That's the gift that God has put on the inside of me. Is that making sense? Because me, in and of myself, I say the wrong stuff. I get passionate about the wrong things. I could easily go try to just chase my design, but I've chosen, God, I will use this gift. And I'll do the best that I can with it. Amen, everybody? Anyway, I'm a little ahead of myself. Let's read some scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, follow the way of love, and everybody say these next two words, and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. I believe that there are people who have had a form of church experience, awareness, something that makes them go like this when we start talking about spiritual giftings. I don't know about all that. The Bible says, follower of Jesus, eagerly desire them. Pursue them, pray about them, ask for them. But what if they're weird? They're not weird. They're not weird. None of them are weird. They're powerful. They're useful. They build up the church. They edify people. They speak to things who have yet to come. They encourage the body of Christ to do things that the body of Christ is called to do. Listen to me, Church on the Rock. I intend to lead a church unafraid of the deposits of God. We all have them. Use them. Amen. Amen. So around here, spiritual gifts aren't weird. They're biblical. And if we want Bible results, we have to do the things the Bible calls us to do. So listen to me, follower of Christ, even if you're the one that's like, I don't know about all that. Listen, I would say just let your guard down. Just ask God, God, what gifts do you want to deposit into me? Because I guarantee you, they will not only benefit you, they will benefit others. Amen, everybody? Now I want to talk for a moment about purpose as we close. About purpose. And I got to move quickly. But here's the thing that I think derails so many people when it comes to purpose. It's because we think about it like, I don't want to get it wrong, and I want to be able to commit my whole life to something, and you know, blah, blah. And I think that we get it a little bit messed up in our minds, and I think that the enemy uses that tactic to keep us stagnant and unproductive. Just a couple thoughts that I want to say is like, purpose is not about you. That's the biggest hang-up for people discovering purpose, I think, in their lives. It isn't about you. Purpose will always point to others. I think that people, myself included, feel like if I wake up every day energized, motivated, and excited about something, that's my purpose. And I do think there are days you'll wake up and you'll feel that way, but not every day, because it isn't about you. One of the reasons that I think followers of Jesus fail to discover purpose is because they don't think of the body they think of them. And if it's only supposed to serve you, it's misplaced. I know this is a little bit bold, but I'm trying to help us all, because I myself have been guilty of the exact same thing that I'm preaching about. A couple things going to go on the screen. Purpose is not measured by size, scale, or happiness. In our culture today, if you don't have a certain number of followers, shares, reposts, if you don't have a big title, if you don't have a certain income level, if you don't have certain toys or certain things in your home, if you don't drive a particular type car, you must not be on purpose. You must have missed it. You must not be influential enough. You're not quite there. And here's what I want to say to you is I believe that's a lie from the enemy. Size does not equal purpose. Size could be big, could be very, very small, but it can be your purpose. Some people have been called by God to have great influence, big voices. That they've been empowered by God to influence a lot of people. Not everybody. Not everybody. It doesn't have to be grand, big, and staggeringly impressive. Up and to the right all the time is not indicative of purpose. Being happy and fulfilled and motivated and joyful and woo is not necessarily indicative of purpose. Although I do think that you will find a sense of fulfillment, you may have deep abiding joy, but happiness will come and it will go. Think about this with me for a moment. Most of us, if not all of us in this room, have heard of Billy Graham. Okay? If you've not heard of Billy Graham, that's okay. Billy Graham is probably one of the most influential communicators of the gospel in history, in all of history. At one point in Billy Graham's ministry, in a matter of days, just a few days, he communicated the gospel to more than 3 million people. Over 1 million at one time. Think about that. That's influence. That's purpose. That's grand and scale. That's amazing. But consider the person who led Billy Graham to Jesus. Maybe some of you know who that is, but I would bet that most of us do not. But I would also say that that person probably didn't have the same size of ministry, scale of ministry. But the question I would ask is, was that person any less purposeful? And I would say, no. Let's layer back one more time. And let's think about the person who led Billy Graham to Jesus. Think about their mother. I would wager that even less of us would know who that person is. I would actually be willing to bet the under that none of us do. And here's my question. Because she was far less size and scale and influence as Billy Graham, was she any less purposeful? And the answer is no. And there are some of you who are disqualifying yourself because it isn't big enough. And it isn't influential enough. And it doesn't seem to matter enough. And I would respectfully disagree. Because maybe that home and those children are your purpose right now. That's your purpose. And who knows what God wants to do in the next generation that He's entrusted to you. Maybe being another number in the employee count, not being in upper management, not having a voice, and just being another face on the floor, maybe that's the exact purpose God has for you right now. Because last thing I'm going to say right here, and Rob, I'm jumping out of order a little bit. Purpose isn't measured by size, scale, happiness, but purpose, I believe, is measured by obedience. What has God called you to right now? Just right now. Who's around you right now? What desires are in you now? Look around at the spot God has you in this moment. Here's the question. Are you obedient with it? Are you faithful to it? Because the Bible makes it pretty clear that until we can be trusted with small things, God will not entrust us with more things. I would love to end today with a story. Can I do that? It's a story. I'm a storyteller. I think you guys know that. And again, I've got to move pretty quickly. I would love I'm going to show you a picture. Show you a picture. This is, yeah. Rob, you can just leave this up for a while. Not everybody would know who this is, but this is our executive pastor, Pastor Aldrich Callens, his wife, Tenori, and their three children. And AC, I like to, can I refer to him right now as AC? That's what in our brotherly exchanges, how we, he calls me JH, and I call him AC. And so AC and I have been friends for many, many years. It's like 11 years, I think, now. And I'm going to tell you his story of purpose and how that purpose impacted his household. Because when I first met Aldrich, he lived in Birmingham, Alabama, and I lived here, and we met through ministry, and we became rapid friends. I mean, like, it was really quick and tight. We will talk to each other. We call it real talk. And when I say real talk, like, when we talk to each other, it's like, let's just be brothers and be honest. And there are times that Aldrich and I are laughing, joking, and goofing off, and remembering old times. There are times where we aren't seeing eye to eye, and we just have to kind of iron some things out. There are things that we don't necessarily even agree on. But that's one of my closest friends in the world. And that's his wife, Tenori. When I met Aldrich and Tenori, Aldrich was working in business, and Tenori held a job at one of the largest and most influential churches in the world today, based out of Birmingham. It's called Church of the Highlands. Some of you perhaps have heard of it. Tenori held, at that time, I'm not sure how many campuses that they currently have. I'm pretty certain it's more than 25 different campuses that meet in different cities and locations all around, becoming the Southeast. They also meet, at the time, there were more than 20 campuses, and at the time, they were serving in 20 different prisons. So if you combine those two, they're serving somewhere around 40 different locations, upward of 50 perhaps now, and I could be a little low in my count. Tenori was the campus coordinator for their Woodlawn campus, and I'm going to brag about this for a moment, because you know how, I'm a football guy, I'm an NFL guy, forgive me, just let me set it up. If you are a head coach of an NFL football team, you hold one of 32 jobs in the world. You understand that? It's a pretty big deal. Even if you're no good, it's a pretty big deal. It's true. Tenori was a campus coordinator for one of about 20 campuses, meaning she held one of 20 jobs in the world. And let me tell you something. She was great at it. I have seen her in action, and I only got to see like a snippet. Because when we would go to, Lauren and I, and sometimes team members, whatever, we'd go to Birmingham, we'd always spend time with Aldrich and Tenori, always. And man, we'd watch her do her thing. And anyway, I would love to just spend the time bragging on just, she was so good at it. Unbelievable. Okay? But inside of Aldrich's heart was this call to be in ministry and not to be in ministry there, somewhere else. And he knew it. And he was just faithful and obedient to his work in business. And Tenori, faithful and obedient to her work in ministry. And the doors opened, and a few years ago, they moved from Birmingham to St. Augustine, and Aldrich joined our staff at Church on the Rock. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Tenori would leave her hometown and dream job so that Aldrich could pursue his dream job. Here's why I'm pointing this out. Because I believe that purpose has a price. Get happiness out of your head. Because sometimes your purpose will cost you things. In the sake of Tenori, she literally gave up her dream job because God was calling her, along with her husband, to a new purpose. And it took acts of obedience. In that time that Lauren and I met Aldrich and Tenori, this was years and years ago, they invited us into a very sensitive prayer point. Don't look at Bobby. I love you. You're so sweet. And here was the prayer. And we were a tight circle of people that had been privileged enough to be invited into their prayer for their family. And it was the challenge of infertility. And we prayed. And we would talk about it. And we would get updates on steps that they were taking, things that they were doing, and deep investments into the process trying to have a family. And God called them to come to St. Augustine, and the process continued. And along the way, God called them to begin to foster, which led to an adoption, which led to another fostering, which led to another adoption. And now the Callens are a family of five. Here's why I'm saying this. Here's why I wanted to bring like a real story close to our hearts. It's because, listen to me, everybody. Purpose has a price. Not only did Tenori leave her dream job to move to St. Augustine, Aldrich took a significant pay cut to come on staff here. Their lifestyle changed. They sold their home in their hometown and bought a home in a new city. Total step of faith to come and join their friends in the hopes and the belief this was God's work and God's call and that this would work. And it has, amen. It had prices attached. Some of you are missing your purpose because you're not willing to pay the prices. God's asking you to do some things, cut loose of some things, whatever it may be, and you're not willing to do it, and you're frustrated at your condition and Him. And God's like, just, if you'll trust me, pay these prices. Because purpose also has promises. I guarantee you. I've never asked this direct question. But I guarantee you. If I brought Tenori up here and I said, Tenori, do you think that giving up your job at Highlands was worth having three children in your home today? I guarantee you she would say absolutely, unquestionably, without a doubt. I'd guarantee that's the answer. If I asked Aldrich, do you think it was worth taking that significant pay cut and walking by faith and getting rid of your home and doing a new venture in a new state with new people? Do you think that price was worth it for the prize of having those three children in your home? And I guarantee you, his answer would be unquestionable, absolutely. I would do it 100 times again. Listen to me, everybody. Purpose will always impact other people. It's not just about you. It is about the people that God is calling you to influence and impact in the way that your life, your obedience will touch their lives and lead to their obedience for them to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Because here's what I know about those three children right there is that they are drinking from these cups. And had they not been attached to those parents, I don't know that that would be happening for them, but today it is. Amen, everybody? Amen. You can just give God praise. Amen. This picture is a picture. It's a picture of what purpose can be, what purpose can look like. Those are some, those are the cutest smiles perhaps in America, okay? That is a beautiful picture. I think we all could agree. All those smiles, but here's what I know. There were a lot of tears that got them there. A lot of them. Were they worth it? They would say, absolutely. Listen to me, everybody. We all want to discover our purpose, live in it, walk in it. Don't let the enemy minimize your impact. It doesn't have to be big, grand, and amazing. It isn't always going to be happy. It will come with prices. It will always come with promises. God will not leave you abandoned. It is not about you. It will always be about how God will use you to influence others. And that's what we'll talk about next Sunday, is this cup of fulfillment. With every head bowed and every eye closed, once again, I have gone over my time, and I apologize, but this moment matters a lot. In fact, everything we've done today has taken us to this moment. And so I would love, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed all around this auditorium, I would love for you to just reflect on you for a moment. I would love to look right into the camera at the people tuning in online, and I would love to ask this question. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ in order that you may know God? If not, I want to invite you to do that right now. The Bible says, this is Jesus speaking, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will have communion with them." And maybe in this moment, whether it's you sitting in this room or you tuning in online, this is your moment. Your next step toward purpose is the obedience of putting your faith in Jesus Christ right now. It's time that you know God. And if that's you, I would love to invite you to repeat a very simple prayer after me. I always ask our entire church to say it out loud with you because I want you to be able to say it in total confidence. It's a very simple prayer, but it has a powerful result. It's your faith being put in Jesus. Here's our prayer. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart, forgive me my sin, wash me, cleanse me, make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Let's stand up, give God some praise, and worship together.